Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 564 of the Drunk Treasure Podcast. I'm your host, as always. I'm Tyler. And joining me, we have the man, the myth, the legend himself, Sir Colonel Gables. What's up, bro, Chacho?
Oh, dude, I'm feeling pretty good right around this time. Just got done listening to some classic
Yeah, we
Madden
did. Yeah, we
soundtracks
did.
from back in the day. Dude, for those listeners, man, you have not experienced a Madden game unless you actually have some of those classical, not classic music per se, but these classic soundtracks from
It's
Madden's
Beethoven us.
from the middle 2000s and stuff like that, because it's totally different than what we go through and have nowadays over the past, actually over the past 10 years. I'm just gonna say it out there right now. Madden over the past 10 years has not had stronger soundtracks than what was going through from Madden's from the mid 2000s, dude.
Yeah.
It's like night and day. You got things like Good Charlotte and stuff like that, Madden
Green
2003. You
Day,
got all sorts of
Seether,
these Green
Ozzy,
Day,
Foo
Seether.
Fighters.
Yeah, exactly. I know, right? It's so fucking crazy in that regards, to where it's like they get like some random Joe Schmo or something like that, or some like indie singers or something like that to come on to Madden and stuff because, well, hey, we can't pay for the extra rigmarole stuff just to get this music or this artist or this thing. I was like, but no, man. Other than that, though, I'm doing fairly well. I've been playing a ton of AEW Fight
God damn
Forever,
right.
and man, that's like I'll speak a little bit more about it in a bit. But at the same point, yeah, it's a pretty fun game, and it scratches that classic wrestling itch that I've had for quite a while. So yeah, it's pretty fun. But how have you been
I'm
doing,
doing all right,
Tyler?
clanging and banging as always. Yeah, I'm with you though. We spent like a good hour plus just reminiscing and going back and like listening to old soundtracks and old songs from like 15 years ago. And like we went back and when did they just stop trying with the soundtrack? And we figured out, I think it was like 2014, Madden 2014. Really, once they got to
Yeah.
literally the PS4 launch one, Madden 25, was what they called it. But it was 24. It was the 2013 Madden. It was like the first one where it was no offense to them. Those people, it's just like it's a bunch of people that you've never heard of, and you'll probably never hear of again after that. Yeah, this is fun going back, and it's always fun to go on the little nostalgia trips. Listen to some Bubba Sparks, out there. We and listening to some MVP Baseball 2005. Listen to Walkie Talkie Man, the Vaughn Bodies. It was a great time. I had a great time with that one. It's always fun to kind of just put some good vibes, good feelings into the little bank there for you that everybody needs every now and again. So that was it was a lot of fun doing that. But no, I'm doing all right. It's a nice having Tuesday off. Got day off for 4th of July. Made it a weird week, it's hard to complain about getting a paid day off, but it's like we're going to work Monday and then having Tuesday off and then going back to work on Wednesday. And I was like, oh fuck. It just fucked up the whole day. Somehow this week felt like a month, even though I guess I didn't really work. I still worked my day off. I had to work my day off on Wednesday, but it was weird. It was just weird. Anyway, it was just weird. It was a weird week, Gables. But it was fine overall. But finally, I played some more games, but played a bunch more Final Fantasy 16, which I'll talk about a little bit more later. I'm not gonna spend too much time on it because I'm talking about it a lot. But finally, Gables, I said a couple weeks ago, I just need everybody to fuck off for a while, and I just haven't had the chance. No one's just listened to me and just fucked off. And finally, today, for the first time in like 6 weeks, everybody just fucked off, and it was great. And I just played a bunch of Final Fantasy 16. I was doing pretty good for video list for watchers, listeners. If you're watching the video version on Spotify or on YouTube, I got a new T-shirt here. It's a limited edition here. You can't buy anymore. It's a picture of Phil Spencer saying the console wars is a social construct. Which, if you've been paying attention to the FTC versus Microsoft trial, that was something he really said, and it's pretty fucking funny. So you can't buy this shirt anymore. The Jeff Grubb and Mike Minani podcast, they put this out. And then people got Xbox got mad about this shirt, so he took it down because got crazy. I was able to get one before he took it down, but and I don't regret the purchase. Yeah, it just came in a couple days ago. I'm pretty happy about it. But yeah, no, I'm doing pretty good otherwise. But people don't know, every week Gables and I get together and we talk about video games. So if you like all this, and you want to know more from us, or you want to keep up with what's going on with this, like, follow, subscribe, check out if you're watching us on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, ring the bell, click, like I said, if you look, click that like button, it's right over there by Gable's junk area. Just click on that. He really likes it. Really likes it if you do that for him. If you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere podcasts are on, we are on, probably on that place. Just search for Drunk Dash Nerds Podcast. You'll find us there. Leave a 5-star review. Leave a comment. Facebook, Twitter, search for us there. There are links in the descriptions down below of pretty much everything, including Extra Life. It's a cool charity that Gables and I do every year. And it's weird, Gables. I was thinking about, I just thought about this the other day where I was like, I haven't thought about Extra Life in a while. And the last couple months has been pretty crazy for me from a personal standpoint. Man, I was thinking about, we are it's crazy. I mean, I know it's 3 months away, 4 months away, but it's crazy to me. I just didn't feel like we're getting there. But Extra Life, great charity that we do. We play against 24 straight hours, usually the first Saturday of November. And we raise money for local Children's Miracle Network hospitals. Easy for me to say. Check that out. Check all that stuff out. There's a link in there for the website. Not even our personal pages. Just a link to the website. Check it out. We've been doing it for over a decade now. It's a really cool thing. But anyways, Gables, it's been kind of a slow week. Not a lot going on. So I was thinking about it the other day. I messaged you about it earlier today. What could we do this week? And I thought about it. I'm like, back in February, we predicted what we thought our top 10 games of this year would be, including not in the order, but we did predict what our top 10 would be and what we thought our game of the year would be. And we I went back and I found the podcast. Right. It was February 18th that we did this, Gables. And like I said, we predicted our top 10 games for what we thought would be our top 10 games of the year. That'd be kind of fun. We are now a little past halfway point of the year. And we pretty much, I think for the most part, we know all the big stuff that's coming out this year at this point. Summer Game Fest is over. We just had the direct a couple weeks ago. So I don't really feel like anything big is going to get announced. Stuff might get delayed still, but that'd be kind of fun, Gables, to look back on our list and maybe do a little, if you're people that play poker, you get the 5 cards and you get one round to everybody, take out the card, the cards that you don't want, throw them in there. You get a fresh couple cards. Yeah, I got 5 cards here. There's 2 I don't like. Throw them out. Get 2 new cards. Maybe it's a better hand for you. Maybe it's a worse hand. Who knows? But we thought it'd be fun to go back and kind of reshuffle our list here. And maybe some stuff that we want to take out. Maybe things we thought would be higher. At this point, we did it February 18th. A lot of shit we didn't know was coming this year. There's stuff that's on our list that didn't live up to the expectations, or stuff that's on our list that doesn't look like it's coming out this year. So I thought it'd be fun to kind of run through our list real fast here. On February 18th of this year, Gables and I predicted for our top 10 list here. Like I said, I'll start with Gables list here. He predicted Resident Evil 4, Like a Dragon Ishin, Sea of Stars, Octopath Traveler 2, Final Fantasy 16, Street Fighter 6, Fire Emblem Engage, Dead Space, Spider-Man 2, and he predicted that his game of the year would be Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. For me, I predicted AEW Fight Forever, Atomic Heart, Final Fantasy 16, Replaced, Spider-Man 2, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, Hi-Fi Rush, Dead Space, and I predicted my game of the year would be Resident Evil 4. So that's what we had written down. Gables, it's now July 8th as of this recording. Do you want me to go through my new list, or do you want to start?
I'm going to have you go through your list here. I got to step out just for a moment, but I'll be back.
So, this was tough. It's tough because obviously you're trying to predict the future, and also some new shit. There was shit on my list here that when I predicted this, there was games that I played now that I had zero interest in before they came out. And then now they're out and it's like, God damn, that's one of the best games I've played this year for sure. And it's got to be on my top 10 list. I'm just trying to buy time until Gables gets back. It's walking out in a bad time, walking out in a bad time. But, we did a podcast a couple weeks ago, but this could be the best year of all time. And I'm like, I kind of made a new short list of okay, here's shit I played so far. Here's shit I think could be in my top 10. at the end of the year, and I'm like, fuck, there's just, I can do a whole nother top 10 of really great games from this year that I've already played, or I probably will, that if everything lives up to the hype of just what we think it could be, not even exceeds it, just lives up to what we think it could be. Like, there's legitimately a really good top 10 list you can make, and you still gotta make some pretty hard cuts after that. But yeah, it's a, man, what a goddamn year. Video games are cool. It's just never ending. Man, just having a great time. Great time. You know, just hardest part, honestly, right now is just being able to play these fucking games. You know, I thought, you know what? I forgot to do a time code. I'm going to go back here. I forgot to put that in there. I'm sorry. For listeners, Gable's walked away, and usually he's only gone for like a minute, and I can kill enough time until he gets back. And I'm just running out of things to talk about here. I want to wait for him to get back before I talk about some of the shit, because, like, you know, it's like, obviously, the fun, we don't know what Joe's list here, you know, so I'm going to be reacting to his list, and he's reacting to mine. But I will say, before we get into the, like, I did take out three games off my list, that from my initial top 10 list. So, like I said, my initial top 10 list, I picked Resident Evil 4 to be my game of the year, Dead Space, Hi-Fi Rush, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Spider-Man 2, Replaced, Final Fantasy 16, Atomic Heart, AW Fight Forever. One of the games I took off my list, Replaced. I'm super pumped for that game. That's a Ukraine-based studio. That game was to come out last year. Obviously, everything's going on in Ukraine, Russia, and everything. Doesn't sound like the game's probably coming anytime soon. You know, it's been shown off at Summer Game Fest and Xbox. It's going to be a Game Pass game day one. It was shown off 2 years ago to come out, and then for Xbox, and this was show off last year for Xbox, or for Summer Game Fest rather, and they just couldn't because everything going on, and I'm just gonna assume it's not happening this year. That's when the game took off. Atomic Heart, another game that took off because I just didn't like that game that much. I don't think it's a bad game. I think it's like a 72 on Open Critic, which that's fair. It's one of those games like you're gonna vibe with or not. Like, it's definitely like I went in with like, you know, that Eastern European like style. I really love this alternate. I'm a sucker for like alternate universes of like, you know, like if like this could happen in the past, like how things could be different now. Like, that's why I'm such a big fan of Wolfenstein. It's kind of like, it's a great, on top of being just a great game and a good story, like just like the alternate universe of like if Nazis had won, what could have happened. Kind of shit. And like, it's ridiculous, obviously, but like, I like how like they fill in the lore of like how things happened. So I really thought Atomic Heart hit me on that funny bone. Also, like, kind of, they look a lot like a Bioshock style game, and it was fine. Another game I took off my list here, and this is tentative because I've only played it for a handful of hours. I talked about a lot last week. I played it for a few hours, and I have not gone back to it. AW Fight Forever. Gables has played a bunch this week. He'll talk about it later. You know, I played a good chunk of it last weekend, and I have not gone back to it just because it's just been so hard trying to find time to play video games that Final Fantasy 16 is such a huge game that I really just need to tackle, because I don't want, like, after coming off Zelda, it took me over a month to beat that, and it's like, I don't know, Final Fantasy 16 is a game I just want to, like, that game's going to take me probably 60 hours, and it's like, I just need to, when I have time, play that game. But all right, Gables is back. What's up, buddy? Welcome back. I've been stalling for time since you've been gone. I mentioned, yeah, there was, so on my list, I took three games off. I haven't said the list, yes, yet, but I took three games off from my February 18th list. I took off Replaced, because it doesn't sound like that's happening.
Okay.
Atomic Hearts, I just didn't really care for. And AEW Fight Forever, I took off my list. Obviously, oh, okay, it's, yeah, tentative, because I was telling our listeners here that I haven't played the game since last weekend because I've just been solely focused on Final Fantasy 16. That I want, yeah, I just need to get that off my chest here before I jump back into anything else. But here's my predictions for what my top 10 of 2018, Jesus Christ. I saw the, I looked down, I wrote down July 8th up here, and I was looking at the 2023 list here. So, Resident Evil 4 on my list. I had that predicted as my game of the year for this year. Gables, I don't even know if that game's gonna make my top 10 list this year. And I love that game.
Resident
and
Evil
I love
4.
That fucking game. It's a remake of one of my favorite games of all time. That game is fantastic. Huh. I love the game. Could have put it down. This year's so good, Gables, that one of my favorite the remake of one of my favorite games of all time might not make my top 10 list of this year.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
Dead
nuts.
Space is another game. I love that game a lot. It's on my that's why I'm picking here to be my top 10. Hi-Fi Rush is I would say currently right now to me, like of games I play currently, there is a four game race to what could be one of my games of the year, and Hi-Fi Rush is one of those four. Another one of those games, Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Absolutely adore that game. First time I've enjoyed anything Star Wars in a very long time. Spider-Man 2, we haven't played yet, but if it's as good as Spider-Man 2018 was, it's a game of the year contender. Final Fantasy 16 is the third or the fourth games here I'm going to mention that is in the four man race to be my game of the year currently of games I played. That's also my list here. Alan Wake 2,
right.
If that game lives up to the hype of what I think it could be, it's on my list. A game that was scheduled for release that I played now, but was not on my original top 10 list because I just didn't care at all about this game. Wolong Fallen Dynasty.
Oh yeah, you.
I put like 40. I put like 10 hours into the demo. Put in like 40 hours into the main game. That's how much I like that game. So.
That's crazy because you don't put really into anything in terms of Souls-like related type of.
First time I've actually gotten to a Souls-like game. Yeah, there's another game here. Another game I haven't played yet. Mario RPG.
So oh, that's right. Mario
those
RPG.
Are the, so far, nine of the games. And the game, I think, as of right now, with the option to change my mind later, that I think will be my game of the year for 2023. Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. That is leading man when I wrote this list out. If you come back to me in 30 seconds, I might change my mind. But as of when I wrote this list, that's what I went down with. But like I said, it is July 8th. I have the right to change my mind for later. Like I said, that's my top 10 list. Gables, run through your list again real fast. You predict.
All right.
Do you have it written down? Or do you want me to say it?
Well, I actually got the little thing right here. I think you got it like a reverse order here when you send it to me over Instagram here. So it's like I got. This is not going to be any type of order here. So I got Dead Space Remastered. I got Fire Emblem Engage. I got Street Fighter VI. I got Final Fantasy 16. I got Sea of Stars. I got Octopath Traveler 2. I have Spider-Man 2. I have Like a Dragon Ishin. I have Resident Evil 4. And I have Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah. And you predicted, right, and just real fast, you did predict that Tears of the Kingdom would be a game of the year.
Yeah. Yes, I did. I did, and it's definitely going to be kept on the list right at this moment in time because I still need to finish Tears
you
of the Kingdom.
You fucking bitch.
That's the... that I have like over 20 hours of that damn game.
That ain't nothing, Gables! You might as well... You've even played this... That's like not even a tutorial. Come on.
Oh, I understand, dude. I mean, comparing that like with Breath of the Wild where it took me over like close... Yeah, like a little over 100 hours just to go forth and beat that game because I wanted to go through and get all the points and all this and that. Yeah, I
was
I
over
40
hours
like
in before
chunk.
I beat the first goddamn temple. You son of a bitch.
But it sounds like to me I just need to blast through the story mode.
No, you don't. Game. You need to enjoy that game. It's fucking wine. Get some wine. Get some cheese. Get it like, what's that? The cheatery board? Cheatery board? The board with the cheese and the meats and the thing that's fancy board. I bought my parents one a couple years ago for Christmas. They love it a lot. And you drink wine with it. I don't fucking know, Gables. I don't eat cheese. The only time I eat cheese is if it's inside a brat or on a cheeseburger. That's it.
Or you're watching the Packers.
Gables, I'm gonna admit. Can I admit something to you real fast?
What?
I'm not a big cheese guy. I'm just gonna say it, Gables. Cheese? Kind of overrated.
Okay.
Anyways, your game of the list prediction.
Oh, this is so rich coming from the cheese head. But still. Okay. I know for a fact Tears of the Kingdom's on the list, but the games that I am going to take out, let's see. Like a Dragon Ishin, I haven't had any type of chance really to get indulge and try to actually play that one. Let's see. Octopath Traveler 2, I'm not sure if I'm going to have time because there's a couple other games I want to play more than Octopath Traveler 2. Let's see here. Right at this moment in time, I'm going to take out Fire Emblem Engage because I've only played it for a little bit.
Wow!
Quite on. Right now, that's exactly what it is. A lot of these long-term RPGs or something like that, I'm probably not going to be able to finish by the end of this year because of other games that are going to be coming through here. Okay. So I got one,
took three off.
Two, three, and I know there's three off so far, but I'm probably going to probably take off one more, but that's just the thing about it, dude. No, I'm going to stick with three this time because it's like, I know I'm going to finish Dead Space Remake. I'm going to finish Resident Evil 4 Remake, and for goddamn sure, I'm going to finish Tears of the Kingdom before this damn year is up. But the three games that I'm going to be like inserting into the place that I think is going, that I believe is going to be on my list, is going to be probably Starfield. Probably Starfield, maybe. It all depends if this thing is good. Armor Core 6, Fires of Rubicon, I would probably think would be on there because it's basically from the friggin' like Elden Ring, like the Dark Souls people and stuff like
that.
Can
I have another hot take for you, Gables? They just put out like a 5-minute trailer, like just uncut video of the game. Looks all right.
Yep.
Looks okay. That's where I said it.
Oh, you're still having the PTSD stuff when you're playing Elden Ring.
Let's not talk about those things. Let's not talk about those days.
And the last one, I feel like the last one is going to be like Super Mario RPG for me, probably. Because that's the thing that I love that game. I know what to expect from it. I want to see what has improved with this game. It looks absolutely amazing from what I've seen so far. So I think Starfield, Armored Core 6, Fires of Rubicon, and Super Mario RPG are going to make it on this game. All right,
so,
let's see.
Your current list now would be Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Spider-Man 2, Dead Space, Street Fighter 6, Final Fantasy 16, Sea of Stars, Resident Evil 4, Starfield, Armored Core 6, Mario RPG. If you had to predict on July 8th, Cables, what do you think of those 10 would be your game of the year?
Now you see, when I made the list before, that was easier. But for this one, there are literally like about four or five that probably would contend.
There's
for
like
game
12
of the year.
For me, though, contend for game of the year. This is bullshit.
Oh yeah, I'm just saying. Like,
yeah, no,
list
yeah.
In general,
it was hard
like,
to go. Yeah, I'm gonna find some bullshit way to like get myself out of like making a top 10 list this year because it's not fair.
But out of that and stuff, I firmly believe that Tears of the Kingdom is still going to be my game of the year.
Okay.
But I need to play through that. 16. I got stuff I want to play. So it's going. It's going.
Gables, I just want to point out, Dead Space, Final Fantasy 16, Resident Evil 4. Those all games are out right now, and they're pretty beefy games here.
Yes, they are.
You only got like 6 more weeks before we get into the bullshit. You only got like 6
I know,
weeks
right?
Tell
you want to know what's even crazier? I didn't even add in Metroid Prime Remastered, dude, because that thing was amazing.
Yeah, I thought for sure that'd be on your top 10 list.
I don't know, man. I mean, it's getting to that point and stuff because of how strong this year has been that even like top tier games that I would think would be shoe-ins like in the top five or like even like my game of the year stuff in past years are not even going to make the cut this year. It's
Super Mario Wonder.
Super Mario Wonder. I mean, that could be a banger that could like replace like freaking Dead Space for all I know. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Finish these games. Yeah,
it's just wild. Like, I was saying a couple weeks ago, like, I can make a top 10 list. And just, like, if you gave me, like, I could do a really great top 10 list just from January to June releases. I'm probably doing there a good top 10 list from July to December. Because it's this is how good this year has been. And, Yeah, like I usually have like two or three really great indie games on my list, and I played some good indie games this year. You know, playing Alana, stuff like that, Ravenlock, and I'm just like, fuck, man. I don't know. Like, Oxfree comes out next week. And I'm so pumped for that fucking game. And it's like, I don't.
Yeah, you see, Planet Alana, I played like a little bit of that. It's not too bad. It's not too bad. I still,
I love that game. So good.
that game is definitely fairly easy to go into and stuff. It's a lot easier to grasp and stuff instead of like, say, maybe playing some Ravenlock. I pretty much kind of got a little like turned off by it initially and stuff. That and also the case of like Benedict Fox and stuff like that. That
I heard
one
the game
was,
wasn't very good. Yeah.
yeah, it kind of turned me off like after about a couple. Like maybe like an hour and a half or something. I'm like, I'm done with this.
Ravenlock was just like it's one of those games that just hit me at the right time. Kind of game where it's like, I don't have to, like, it's like, it took me like 3 hours to 100% it, got all the trophy, all the achievements, and it was just like one of those, it's like, it's super easy. It's not like the story's whatever, it's just Alice in Wonderland, but it was like sometimes you need that palate cleanser coming from like a big game, or like I just beat Star Wars. It was like right between Star Wars, and then I played a little bit of Redfall, and I didn't get this shitty taste in my mouth, so I played Ravenlock. And then that led me right into Zelda. So it's like it was just that perfect game to like get me between big games. So like you just need games like that every now and again. It's just wild. Gable's like next week we have Exo Primal and Oxenfree 2. And I feel like I'm 2, 3 weeks away from beating Final Fantasy 16. And like as excited as I am for fucking Exo Primal and Oxenfree 2, but like Oxenfree is a it's a single player game. I'm gonna play through it. It's probably a weekend. I'm gonna love it, I'm sure. Exo Primal is gonna be one of those games, like as much as I've been hyping on that game up, I understand what the game's gonna be. It's gonna be like a really, I think it could be like a really good 7 out of 10. It's gonna be a great 7 game. But that game's gonna be like big for like 2 weeks maybe, and then everybody's gonna move on. And I'm worried I'm just gonna miss that window. And like that's my concern. Because I really wanna be in this game like day one. It's coming to the Game Pass, and I'm pumped for it. But I'm like, God damn it, man. I'm gonna miss the win. I'm gonna play it like August 1st, and it's just gonna like there's still people playing it, but it's gonna be like the hardcore people playing it, and like God fucking damn it, that's what's gonna happen. It's not gonna be fun for me.
This definitely gives off the feeling of this game's probably going to be popular maybe for about a month and then it's going to be
Yeah.
ignored.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they got like the Street Fighter 6 stuff coming soon and stuff like that, but like in the
Oh
fall,
yeah,
but.
dude, don't even get me started about that, man. I'm excited to try out Rashid. I'm gonna be going through that character past stuff when it keeps on updating and stuff. But I saw that trailer for Rashid and stuff for Street Fighter 6. He looks fucking good.
Well, I was talking about adding the Street Fighter 6 characters to Exo Primal.
Yeah, that too.
But
I mean, I know those ones too.
yeah, it sucks. Like Exo Primal is like I've been championing that game for like over a year. Like I think it's just been me and Capcom championing that game, and I'm gonna miss the fucking game at launch. I'm letting Capcom down, you know? And it's like, I'm letting everybody down, you know? It's like
Dude, if anything, that game's probably gonna be like a fun little like BS game or something like that that we play during Extra Life, because that's what it kind of sounds like it's gonna be.
I every year I feel like Gables we like over get placed in Extra Life, and then we just never do. Or it's like unless it's Resident Evil 6. Like it's just like every year we just like then we're like and like oh we're gonna play this and then we never just never doing it. Although last year, like you and me, we just been playing like the same like one game throughout the entire day last year.
That's
So
the first time the both of us have ever actually have done that, especially me, because I was not expecting to get as engrossed into God of War as I did over tw fucking 24 hours of
Yeah.
God of War
You didn't
2018.
even finish the game either.
I
That's
didn't
what's
finish the
crazy about
game until like the next couple days or
it.
something like
Yeah.
that, but it was
Yeah.
amazing.
Yeah, like I think I played the fuck did I play Bayonetta 3 and Mario plus Rabbids. That was like all I played for 24 straight hours.
Here's a
So
fun
is
fact.
it
Here's a fun
what?
fact. And this is going to be related for like related to the God of War and stuff. So, unbeknownst to you, I have a folder on my PS5, right? And I have a lot of these games or some added on to there, and it's entitled The Ginger Chronicles.
You
And
fucking asshole. I'm so mad.
What I've done is compiled a whole bunch of like the games that I know you've said and recommended to play, so that way I don't forget, and I put it right in there. And I go and I play little bits and pieces of these games.
I've been saying for years, Gables, that you buy games that I love, play them for an hour, and then stop just to infuriate me. And now I know for a fact it's real.
Don't do it just to piss you off. I do it because I'm gonna forget which these games I'm gonna
It's gotta be
play.
like 200 games at this point.
No,
It's
it's
like
not 200 games.
20?
But one of the biggest ones I got out of the way was God of War. So that one
Yeah.
I can
Now he's
cut.
gonna get you to get play the fucking sequel.
Ragnarok, I know, right?
God damn it. God damn it.
Oh.
I want to see. I need a screenshot of this list. I need to see it. I need to know. Actually, you know what? Don't send me the list because it's gonna make me mad all over again. I don't want to know. I just rather not know.
I do love the PSN, like the PS5, like folder stuff. I
It's
mean,
great. It's
that's
really great.
it's great, dude. Like, and all this
It
other
was
stuff,
great. Now I'd hate it because I didn't know there was like a Gables has got like a hit list against me here of games that Tyler loves that I won't play. You fucking son of a bitch.
it's the games I want to get back to and finish, but like, I just, I keep forgetting.
Gonna get blackout drunk tonight so I can forget this moment ever happened. Let's just move on. I'm too upset. I'm too upset now.
Okay.
What the Anyways, don't know. Let's just move on from that. Microsoft thinks a PlayStation Slim is coming this year, for $400. So this came from the trial with FTC and Microsoft. So this isn't like any like leak stuff like that that's going on here, but this is from Microsoft that came up from personal documents of theirs. So this is what exactly what it says in the document that came out. PlayStation likewise sells a less expensive digital edition for $400, which is that smaller black version that doesn't have a disc drive, and is expected to release a PS5 Slim later this year at the same reduced price. So it says further later on in that same document, Sony's also so all this is actually before they revealed the Project Q, which is the handheld thing that
Yes.
looks like PlayStation Ultra handed a DualShock, cut it in half, Ultra handed it to a screen. So from this, Microsoft says Sony is also anticipating to release a handheld version of the PS5 later this year for under $300, which obviously under $300 could be anything, could be $299.99, could be $100, anywhere between there. So interesting, but we've talked about there's been rumors of that. They also like there's rumors of like the AirPod things that they're doing, which was also revealed at the same time. So like I mentioned, the PS5 Digital Edition is kind of like the Slim already, but that is $400. But I can't. It's been a long time since I've seen like updated numbers for it. But you were able to like at a certain point see like how much the base PS5 and the PS5 Digital Edition has sold. But it was like it was like at one point like 10 to 1. Like they're pretty much just producing the $500 one, and then the digital edition was harder to find. And I don't know if how many they're even making now. I think it's still mostly just based off the main edition. But
Right.
what it sounds like here is going to happen is, and we talked about there's been a lot of rumors the last year or so about the PS5 Slim. We've heard rumors in the past about a PS5 Slim, and it was coming. Probably this year is what it sounded like, and there'd be a digital only one, and kind of the idea was it would eventually phase out the base PS5 model, so we'd have this model, and there was that detachable disc drive that you can buy, and sometimes there'd be a bundle for it, or you could buy it separately. So if you were someone that bought that $400 edition already, or you buy this PS5 Slim later, if you're like, fuck man, I wish I would have bought this. I just would have bought the disc drive. Now you could just buy this additional thing for it. No idea what that price point would be or anything like that. But that would be an option at least. And something we've heard a lot about is there's been a lot of rumors about the PS5 Pro coming next year. And what it kind of sounds like here is going to happen is they're going to eventually phase out the PS5 model, the $500 edition that we know now. Kind of like what we've seen with the Switch, where they've kind of phased out the $300 edition Switch. Yeah. And now you can either buy the Lite or the OLED edition. So we have the 200 and the 350 edition. Sounds like kind of what's going to happen here is like they're going to phase out that $500 edition. There's going to be the slim option when you can buy the detachable hard drive. And then next year, they're going to fully phase out the $500 edition and come out with the PS5 Pro. Obviously, with that one, we have no idea. Is that going to stick at 500? Or is that going to be 550 or 600? Now, because we're now at this point now where, you know, PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series consoles have now raised the prices up in other countries throughout the world to like around 550, whatever that is, in their dollars in other countries. Then we've seen the Switch, obviously, like they with the OLED edition, they retroactively raised the price $50 for that one. So kind of seems that's where we're going with this. No idea of like maybe this is like a backdoor way of bringing the price back down to what it was. Like it's a price decrease, but really it's going back down to what it cost before with the in other countries.
Yes.
But maybe this is a backdoor way of them raising the price here in the United States as well. I don't know. It was like, how you feeling now? 3 years in, getting that slim, and then possibly the pro next year.
I think this definitely more in lines with what Sony has done in the past with previous iterations of their systems. I mean, it makes sense that they want to go and put out the slim model because they want to phase out that digital only edition and stuff like that. Especially if it has like an option for a detachable hard drive and stuff that you could buy separately if you truly wanted to play physical game discs and stuff on it. I mean, that replacing the $399 lower end option for the PS5, that makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense also for a PS5 Pro or something to take over the reins of the original model. I mean, the original model and stuff is what pretty much like people were definitely sought after when it first launched and stuff like that. But when it comes to Sony's lifespans for creating like their initial consoles and stuff, if we go up on the track record of, say, with the PS3 and the PS4 and specifically and stuff, it was around this time and stuff when they introduced, say, the PS4 Pro and, like...
2016, 3 years later.
Yeah, and then, like, the PS3 Model 2 and then, like, the Model 3 after its life cycle and stuff. So it's, like, this is definitely going along the patterns of what Sony has done in the past to produce hardware. The question in mind and stuff is if they when they do eventually put out like say an equivalent of a PS5 Pro and stuff, is that going to be a disk drive based device or is that going to be another
the Pro would thing? Be a disk drive, yes. That would have that built into it. So
okay, that's smart consumer wise because you want both options. You want a digital only thing and then you want a disk drive, and for people who want to buy the cheaper option but want the disk drive, they can do that too. That would be incredibly smart in that regards. But yeah, that's how I kind of feel it's going to happen, dude, where it's like, I feel like this is the time that Sony is going to announce this stuff this year, for at least the Slim. Next year for the Pro, I do agree with some of the rumors going through because that sounds a lot more believable, sounds a lot more plausible. As far as, say, the original PS5 right now, though, I feel like that thing is going to be phased out, I want to say, late 2024, at least around that September-October range. Because I think Sony themselves are going to announce, okay, this is the PS4 Pro or something that's going to come out and stuff, and then they'll just go through the rest of their stock and stuff. They won't even announce that the original thing is going to go out right away. It's going to be like another Nintendo, like with their base Switch model and stuff,
yeah,
where they just have the handheld and like the OLED and stuff.
They just stop making new ones and it's like whatever. So yeah, I agree with you. Like, so I went back and I looked, like how, so they going back to the PS, like it's obviously you can't judge people. I always see people judge like, well, this is what Nintendo did with the Wii U going to the Switch. It was like, you can't compare because the Wii U is a failure going to the Switch, whatever, blah, blah, blah. People are trying to compare what Nintendo's going to do going to new consoles. You can't compare those anymore.
Yeah.
Totally different things. Right. With the, you can't, oh, it's not always one-on-one here. PS4, I guess, PlayStation in a way, going 4 and 5, kind of in the same boat here where they were just dominating Xbox. And they, I mentioned the sales numbers to the, we've seen some sales numbers for the Xbox Series consoles. From the latest numbers we have from both, I mean, it's like almost 2-to-1 PlayStation to Xbox still. So
yeah,
fair to say they're kind of dominating. That's not me being a fanboy or anything like that. Like, love all the consoles, all that stuff. But it's kind of where we're at. So it's kind of in that same boat. Like, you look at PS4 to Xbox One, it's about 2-to-1 at the end of the generation. So we're, like I said, same point. But anyways, it was December 7th, 2016 that they announced the PS4 Pro and also the Slim were coming. The Pro would be $400, replacing the price point of the, so they're going to drop the, they were going to get rid of the base PS4 model, replace that with the Slim, drop the price to $300 for the Slim, and then the PS4 Pro would be $400. So then the Slim came out about a week and a half later, like September 16th, I think it was. And then the Pro came out November 10th, if I remember. I just Googled for the podcast, and I believe that was the correct dates here. So about 2 months between the announcement and release of the Pro, about a week and a half between the announcement of the Slim being the announcement and the release of that. Obviously, at this point, we're not like the way these things are selling, and they're just now finally becoming the market. They're not dropping the price. We've seen already the Switch, like that was like 5 years in. Like, no, actually, we're going to raise the price. And we've seen last year, PlayStation raised the price. Xbox just last month raised the price. I think at this point, like I said, like I believe what's happening is real. Where, yeah, it's going to be $400. It's going to replace the digital edition, which doesn't seem like that's really happening much anyways. And, yeah, I agree with you where I think the base PS5 model will probably just still producing that, at least get through the Christmas. I believe it will probably just get through most of the next year. And then when they announce a Pro, assuming that probably, because you don't want to announce a Pro until, the thing is with these, you don't want to announce them until they're pretty close to coming out, because not only you're gonna, like, shit's going to leak, even though it's already leaking right now, but like it's going to leak even more. But also you don't want to announce, hey, in 6 months, we're putting out a better model of this version. People are going to buy it. They're going to wait, you know? So you at least want to get through the holidays. You want to wait. So it's like, I agree with you where, we're probably gonna still get those base models, but when that Pro comes out, it's gonna be Pros and it's gonna be the Slim. And I do like the idea. Like, I don't know how it's gonna look. It's probably not gonna look great having the detachable disc drive, but like,
right?
It's better than like, fuck, I regret buying this Slim, and I can't buy a disc for it. Well, now I have to spend. Go ahead.
Okay, so I just thought about this, and I think this would make more logical sense here, too. We know that Spider-Man 2 is going to be coming out, like, in October and stuff like that. What if they were to, Sony, announce Slim, like, say, at that September, and then they'd have, like, a bundle with that for the PS5 Slim and stuff, yeah. And there you go.
Yeah, that makes the most sense, yeah. Like, you do a bundle, maybe, like, charge $450 for it, or maybe just like, hey, packing for free kind of thing to boost the sales of it. Because you take the loss on people buying Spider-Man, but you're gonna make way more money back because people are gonna buying console games digitally. Because
it's the cheaper alternative.
Yeah,
and stuff to
it's
the
cheaper, PS5. But also people are buying have to buy games digitally. Well, not have to if they have a detachable version. And you're gonna make that money back. Like, that's. You know, people always talk about the Series S, where like Xbox is losing money on that Series S. But if you are stuck buying games digitally, they're going to make that money back. Like, we always hear about like consoles selling at a loss because,
yes,
you know, it's a loss leader, but they make the money off selling the games. So, yeah, that's it makes sense. You look like Nintendo when they released the Lite, they released it with Link's Awakening. When they released the OLED, they released it with Metroid Dread. So,
yep.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's actually a really good point, Gables. I didn't even think about that until you said anything.
It also aligns with what Sony's done in the past, too. I mean, they've done, like, certain, like, bundled things for their games before. Hell, yeah. Look at even the PS4, you know, with the PS4 Pro, I think it was, and stuff with Spider-Man, I want to say.
No, it was 2016. They didn't have anything at launch. But I remember there being a deal at a lot of places where you can get, there was two games. I can't remember, When I bought my PS4 Pro a couple weeks after launch, and you can get, there was two games that come with, you could pick one, and Final Fantasy 15 was one, and I can't remember the other one, but there was two options. But yeah, you got one game for free, and that was kind of like their like holiday bundle.
Yeah, man, I'm just trying to remember like which version of the PS4 was that had just like that customized Spider-Man PS4.
That was the red one with the, you can buy the collector edition one.
Right.
Yeah, that was, yeah, they had a bunch of collector edition one. They remember they had the PS1 looking PS4.
Yep.
They owned like so many of, but yeah, there was a red one. But it was only a base PS4, which sucked.
Because
it came out, that came out in 2018. That one did. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it makes sense. I'm just curious. Like, to me, it's like, how much is that Pro going to cost? Like, is it going to be $550? Is it going to be $600? Because I do think, like, now, I think during 2020, with everything going on, they wanted to make sure that, like, there's a lot, there's going to be 500 or 600. They made them 500. Now I'm sure, like, they all look at it like they regret. I mean, they could have made them 600 and they would have sold. And we know they would have sold because people were paying $2,000+ on eBay for these things. So,
and this is exactly what's going to happen this time around, to where you're going to have scalpers buying this thing up so Sony can justify going through and putting a $600 price tag. Even though it's hilarious to us because they tried to do the same thing years ago with the PS3 for $599 US, and now it's coming back into effect to where it's like the PS5 Pro potentially could be a $600 device.
Yeah.
You know, I'm.
Yeah, but I mean, $600 means something different in 2023 than 2006. But
absolutely.
I mean, it's still a lot of money, don't get me wrong. It's a lot of money no matter what time it is. But it just, now with the scalpers and everything like that, it's like we see this going on with everything right now. Like, tickets to like concerts, stuff like that, or like, or like any sporting event, like those prices have gone way up post COVID because of how much, like, we've seen people, like scalpers, making more, like second hand market are making more money than the people putting on the show. So we've seen the prices of these events going up and up of like 3-4 times the amount what they were in 2019 because just scalpers, like, this is the way to combat it. The secondhand market is like, well, we just make the initial price super, super high. People won't pay crazy much more for it. So, we just seen with the Taylor Swift concert tickets, like people were selling them for 6 times the amount than what they paid for them. So, yeah, it sucks that we're kind of getting fucked over by shit like that, but I don't know. Yeah. It sucks. Like I said, they probably know they can get away with it. And we'll have to wait and see. I just wonder, like, the PS4, Xbox One era is so different because those consoles came out underpowered. At that point in time, they're like people were saying, like, remember, like, Digital Foundry was talking about, they're like 2 years behind the PC market. Typically, when the new consoles come out, they're at least a year or two ahead of the PC market. And we see that the PS5 and Xbox Series consoles, where those were like more powerful than some of the top end PCs. Not all of them, but if you wanted to spend, you know, multiple thousands of dollars on a PC, it was more powerful, obviously, but like a affordable PC for people, it was ahead of that. And it's kind of crazy. Like, and also you had, in 2016, you could sell 4K. My thing is like, what's the selling point? Unless I'm doing like every game is like 4K 60, what's the selling point? Like,
that's a good question. The selling point is going to be the deciding factor of justifying a $600 device. I mean, you can't just put out like a supposed PS4 Pro, give it more storage or something like that, and then all of a sudden expect people to buy it if only you have to tout as like 4K and 8K compatible. I mean, that's just how.
And 8K is a PS5 pipe dream at this point in 2023. So.
Well, absolutely. Unless they were trying to have an option store where you can unlock certain frame rates inside of certain games, you know? I mean, it's just it's more complicated than it seems right now.
Yeah.
But, we'll see what eventually they do for this supposed Pro when they do hopefully go through and maybe unveil something of that sort.
Yeah. Like in 2016, they also said HDR, which to me, HDR is more impressive than 4K.
I agree.
So, I mean, we already see, like, if you have a TV that has variable refresh rates, VRR, you can already do 120 frames per second with the base PS5 or Xbox Series X. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm curious. Like, I'm not trying to poo-poo the idea, but I'm, I don't know. I was like totally against the PS4 Pro and Xbox Series X, or Xbox One X, initially. Sorry, and I was wrong. I bought both of those things, and I loved them for what they were. So, I don't know. I am willing to be wrong again. But let's move on here. Gables.
Yeah.
This is more you. Sega Genesis announced their games for June for Nintendo Switch Online. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Nintendo Switch announced games for Sega Genesis. I said it backwards. For Nintendo Switch Online. For June, we have here Ghouls and Ghosts, Revenge of Shinobi, Landstalker, and Crusader of Senti. This is all out now. That's for the expansion pack. Any of those do anything for you?
Actually, all of them do, because there's a good reason for that. It's because each one of those games are absolutely crazy good in regards to the Sega Genesis collection. So, like, now Crusader of Senti is well known around the circle for like major Sega Genesis fans. That's one of the most expensive games to find, like used, as well as like trying to buy, like find the thing with its box and like everything else complete. You know, it's like, I kid you not, it is fairly pricey. At least over, I want to say over like that $500-$600 range, maybe. But this is the thing about it, man. It's like it's pretty much kind of like a Zelda clone in and of itself, because it's basically a Link to the Past, but it has other types of stuff though. But the game is pretty good from what I've seen of it, and plus what I've like heard from other players and stuff like that. But Ghouls and Ghosts, that's an excellent game. I mean, Landstalker, that's a great Genesis game. It's more kind of like a it's kind of like more like a top-down sort of RPG-esque type of game and stuff that kind of reminds me a little bit like a kind of, not like Diablo or something like that, but it has that sort of like over-the-top style and stuff of like action, RPG sort of esque type of stuff. And then, oh my gosh, what was the last one here? There's four of them.
Landstalker and Crusader of Senti.
Okay, Landstalker and Crusader of Senti, I just said. Let's see, Ghouls and Ghosts, I've already said.
Oh, and Revenge of Shinobi.
Okay, Revenge of Shinobi, that's a classic, man. I mean, I love the third one of that, but like the original still holds up pretty good. I mean, it's a solid action game. I mean, it's definitely like not as difficult as like say the third game. I mean, Shinobi 3, that thing's a masterclass on the Genesis. That's like one of those games where you play, that's like one of the all-time greats for that system. But the original and stuff still is fairly enjoyable. It's still a good game in its own right. And what's kind of hilarious about it, and it's just kind of unrelated from everything and stuff, the second game in that trilogy was a Game Gear only game.
Makes sense.
But that update for NSO for the Sega Genesis stuff has been fairly frequent, and also it has been fairly surprising in terms of the quality games that have been shoved onto that service. I love the fact that more emphasis is being put upon like some of the lesser known games from that system, because you have millions of players now that will go through and try these games out now instead of like bar, because they have to pay so much just for online or something. But like, say if it was like on the Wii's virtual console, for example, a lot of players probably wouldn't even give it the time of day, because it's not Mario or Zelda or this or that though. But I feel like this is the case though, where the Sega Genesis is getting closer to eclipsing some of the Nintendo consoles, like for the NSO online stuff, in terms of how many good quality games there are on that stuff, because holy shit, there is a freaking ton of awesome Genesis games on NSO. But I just can't wait for more updates, not just for the Genesis, but also in terms of like the Game Boy Advance, because I'm really looking forward to seeing any more Game Boy Advance updates.
Yeah, whenever they announce Pokemon Trading Card Game, you're just not going to see me for like a month, so prepare for that. Next up here, though, some other stuff here. Xbox and Bethesda will be at Gamescom. That's at the end of August, so interesting there. Street Fighter 6 has sold over 2 million units in its first month. They are expecting to sell over 10 million, though, in its lifetime.
Yes.
Yeah. Street Fighter 5 is the best selling of all time at 7 million, which is pretty crazy because that was a PC and, excuse me, PlayStation game only. And no one really liked that game. So interesting there. Gee, I'm like combining things here now. Mario Movie, Super Mario Brothers movie is coming to Peacock on August 3rd. So if you're someone like me, it's really been really frustrating, Gables. Like, I want to just rent that movie, like, digitally. Yeah. And that game has been, like, available at, like, Redbox. Movie has been available at Redbox for, like, 2 months now.
Yes.
And, but it's, like, it's not, you can't rent it digitally, which is weird. But you can buy it. You can only buy it, which is, so I'm, like, I'm not going to pay $20 for this movie because I'm going to watch it once. Probably not even enjoy it and just move on. So now I'm excited. It's going to, hey, I'm going to wait, like, 3 more weeks and I'll just watch it on Peacock because I already have Peacock. Gables is smiling at me. So did you buy this movie? You looked over your shelf and then you looked back and you smiled at me. I'm gonna bet you bought this movie and you didn't watch it.
Actually, I did watch it.
You watched it and you didn't fucking tell me. Why didn't you tell me this stuff? This is stuff we gotta talk about.
Oh, it's definitely something we do need to talk about and stuff like that. I mean, it's a pretty fun movie, I feel.
Okay. When did you watch this movie?
Let's see. I watched this movie, like, honestly, I didn't know the damn thing came out on, like, movie thing until, like, about a week or two after it came out. So I fucking got the movie. I watched it, like, about a few weeks ago or something, but I forgot.
A few weeks ago! You didn't think this is important for the video game podcast, about the video game movie? The most popular video game movie of all time.
In my defense, I've been under a lot of stress at the workplace.
Not a defense. No defense.
But yes, I have watched the Mario movie now.
Okay. Well, fuck you. A lot of revelations in this podcast. He's got a hit list on me on his PS5 to mock me, and now he watched the Mario movie like 6 months ago.
Fuck you.
This whole podcast is just a hit list, a hit piece on me.
It's a ginger hit.
Yeah, it's a hit on gingers. What the fuck? Anyways, stick with Mario. Mario Kart 8 DLC Wave 5 is coming next week on July 12th. Last of Us Part 3 could start filming this year. So there's been some posts for hiring actors for Naughty Dog, and it sounds like a Last of Us game could be whatever the multiplayer game could be, but it seems like it could be Last of Us Part 3. Obviously, that's all rumor stuff. Take that with a grain of salt here. Also, take with a gigantic heap of salt here, heart attack inducing amounts of assault Switch 2 dev kits apparently are in the hands of developers. And it sounds like
the people like what?
The people that who made the Metroid Dread game?
Mercury Stream,
Jesus Christ. It sounds like they are the developers that they're talking about there. Obviously, take all this with a grain of salt. I don't want to do this again, Gables. We've been talking about Switch Pros and Switch 2s. Yeah. For like 16 fucking years. And I don't want to go through the things. Remember, like, every week there was like different leaked models of the Switch out before the Switch was revealed.
Yes.
And
that one model that looked like an oblong thing, that was actually supposed to be like a
3D printed
Switch.
Yeah. give all props to that person. Like, they did such a great job of like taking that picture and even like the reflection off the screen. Like, making it look like it was taken in, like, Nintendo's offices. It was incredibly well done, but I just don't want to do it. So that's why I threw it in here. Banjo-Kazooie composer said that there's no audience for Banjo-Kazooie. So get fucked, Gables. Fuck you. Fuck you.
I could see where Greg Kirkhope can come up with that. I mean, let's just be perfectly honest and stuff. Banjo-Kazooie was a franchise that was created in the late 90s. They had the original and then the sequel come out in 2000, like around 2000 or so like that. But yeah, the time has really come and passed for like a Banjo-Kazooie 3, even though Nuts and Bolts was supposed to be that, but never was. But I think that there still is a market for Banjo-Kazooie, but at the same time, it would be radically different to the point where I kind of feel like that it's probably never going to come out.
Yeah, I'll never say never, but there will eventually be a new one, but I don't think it's gonna happen before Microsoft gets Activision. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Last up here, you put this in here,
Yeah.
D&D game Baldur's Gate 3. There's a controversy going on with this one.
Okay, so basically I read about this morning and stuff like that. There's just some funny stuff that you can actually go forth and do inside this game. You know, like how inside of like RPG, like D&D, like RPG games or something like that, where quintessentially like you do your own adventures, doing all this and stuff. Well, in Baldur's Gate 3 and stuff, they went into details about all these various like type of like not just like romances and stuff like that, but they went into like these weird sort of like kind of fetish level type of shit, you know? And at one of the articles and stuff like that, it's like in a couple of articles, like one that was like on Kotaku and the other one's got things you could actually like have sex with a bear or some shit like
Oh
that.
yeah, I saw that. You can have sex with someone in bear form. Yes.
Yeah, man, I thought it was. I'd be perfectly honest with you. I read that. I just had to have a good chuckle about that because it's like, it's so current day to where it's like, you're going through, you're advertising like a game or something like that to where it's like, okay, you have action this and action that. It's like, what are they gonna advertise their game for? It's like, oh, look at how what type of things we can fuck. You know, it's just.
Gables, there's over 170 hours of cutscenes in here. You're gonna get weird at a certain point. I feel like hour 80 of cutscenes, bear fucking just sounds right. And not gonna lie to you, Gables, kind of turning me on.
So you and Winnie the Pooh got to go on and do its thing or something like that.
God damn it! Like I hope Piglet's in the corner watching. You got Eeyore over there fucking just
Oh my
watching.
God, so many beers in and stuff, and I'm like, oh my God, dude. Oh shit. But yeah, I just wanted to bring it up because one, I thought it was just kind of stupid in regards to that and stuff. I mean, to each person their own in that regards though, but I think it's still incredibly funny that it's like inside of like a fantasy RPG and stuff like that. You want to go forth to your the whole point, you know, it's like you go on adventures, you go through and just create your own things as you go and stuff. But for Baldur's Gate 3 to have those type of options to where, okay, you have polyamorous like relationships, you have the option to where it's like you can go forth and like have like a druid or something like that, or some transform into a fucking bear or something like that. And there's actually detailed type of like almost like bestiality sort of shit. I'm just like,
Yeah,
ugh, I'm
very
out.
detailed bear buttholes. I'm in. You know, I'm gonna buy this game. Gables, yeah, you said it best at the top there.
What's up?
Fantasy RPG.
Not the kind of fantasy a lot of people want to know, but still.
You don't have to fuck the bear, Gables. It's just an option, you know?
Well, that's true too, but still.
You know? Hey, you know, I'm not here to yuck anybody's muck. If you want to watch a human fuck a bear, good for you. You know, that's fine. It's a virtual. It's not even a real bear, Gibbles. It's not
Yeah,
even
if
a
they
real
want to go
bear.
down to Yogi Bear, I mean, yeah, do all the barrier.
Like, hey, boo boo.
Hey.
You want to see my picnic basket? Pull this to see some jam.
Sir, I don't like it.
Is getting weird. I'm in, Gibbles. You know what? Baldur's Gate, I'm gonna buy it just to support this game. I'm gonna buy it on PC and then I'm gonna buy it again on PlayStation. Fuck yeah. This game sounds great. I'm in. Hopefully you can fuck other animals. Like, can I fuck a frog? What about a cricket? anyways, let's move on. I don't know how to move on for that one. There's no good segues. Hope I could fuck Glover. Think I could fuck Glover in that game? I'm gonna fuck every single one of his hands or fingers. Gables, what's moving what we've been playing? Do you want me to go first? Or do you want to go first?
You know what? I'm gonna have you go first on this one.
All right. I have not been playing much more as far as like other games. It's strictly been pretty much Final Fantasy 16. Play a little more of AW5 Forever on Sunday, but it's like I'm like 3 or 4 hours at this point. I haven't even finished the Road to Elite yet. I've just been, it's been so hard to find like time to play games. And like I was mentioning on Final Fantasy 16, is like, you know, I mentioned earlier in the podcast where it's just so hard to find time to play it. And like, it's tough because it's like this type of game is like a game that like, it's better. There's so much story. There's so much lore. There's so many characters in this game. It's almost better to play this in like short, like or big chunks and like short amount, but like very few breaks in between. Right. It's been so hard of like, I'm pretty much only going to play them on my days off. And, you know, it was like with Zelda, it was like, that game's easier to like, I can just not be, play it for like, don't have time to play for like a week. Like I play it Sunday. I can't play it till Saturday. Like that game is fine waiting like a week to go back to. And this game, it's like, this game is built around the story and the lore and the realm and the characters. And it's so hard to like kind of go in days between, but one of the coolest things in video game history ever, the active time lore, where you can just pause during a cutscene, hit the little touchpad button, and it shows you like all the characters and like even like the areas that you're in, and you can just gives you a little blurb to tell you about these characters, and then also like any updated like things that happened in the game. And let me tell you, that has saved my fucking ass on more times than I can admit, because I was playing like just today, like so. I finally like Tuesday was like the first time like I got like. Like I've been playing like 2 or 3 hour chunks, but like that was like a which I know is more than a lot of people. I'm sure I know, but like finally, like Tuesday is the first time I got to like sit down. And like I played that game for like 7-8 hours on Tuesday. And it was awesome. And like over like 2 or 3 different sessions. But it was like, I couldn't play it until Saturday, till today. And today I played for like 4 or 5 hours, and it was so great today getting in. I'm like, totally, like, I ended, like, right jumping, like, right before you go into, like, a big, because I knew, like, Sunday night I stopped kind of early, or Tuesday night I stopped kind of early because, like, this is going to be a big mission. I just want to, like, I don't want to stop mid-mission because I know it's going to go late. So I was, like, going in, I'm like, all right, what the fuck was I doing again? Like, kind of what's going on here? And just, like, getting to that cutscene, pausing it, hitting the active time lore, and it just gave me enough information to kind of fill in, like, oh, yeah, that's right. I was doing this a few days ago. So that is a big selling point. The gameplay is great. I'm just getting like this, you know, people talk about like certain movies come out and it's like, they talk about like, it's Oscar bait. This game is just Tyler bait. It is all the things I love about video games.
Tyler bait.
It is. I'm just jerking off watching this, playing this fucking game. It is exactly like, it is every fucking thing I love. It's like great combat, big, just bombastic cutscenes, hype moments, fan, just like the music hits, you get the fucking chills, and it just keeps getting bigger, it just keeps growing, keeps getting greater. I just got to a fucking big icon fight where you like, you turn into an icon and you fight another icon, the big fucking like behemoth, you know, like Ifrit, and I don't want to mention the other one I was fighting, but the music that hit in this, it's so different from anything else. I was like, what is happening right now? It's just like, it was like Sonic the Hedgehog, like 3D Sonic the Hedgehog, like almost music popping on. I'm like, this is totally different from anything else. But it was so fucking cool what happened here. And like some of the other fight, like these big moments with the music, just, they are just nailing what I love about video games. Of just like, these like hype fucking moments. Square Enix, I've always said Final Fantasy VII Remake, you just look up the definition of hype and it's just a picture of that fucking game. I think you just replace that and just put the logo of Square Enix there, because god damn it, like when they like put out their big budget games, they just fucking nail hype. They know what hype is and they keep hitting it, and it is so like, it just keeps like, I'm like, how the fuck are they going to top that? And they fucking top it. It's fucking wild to me. I'm like, holy, like, and like, you beat it. And I was like, oh my God, that was fucking crazy. And that was just the first, that was like step one of this boss fight. I'm like, oh my God. It's just, oh, it's hard to talk about that spoiling shit. I know, but like, I'm being very vague about it. But mine, when you get there, you'll fucking know what I'm talking about. Or if you've already played that part, you already know what I'm talking about. This game is brilliant. It is exactly what I want from video games. And like I've talked about, I am not this big like fantasy like person as far as like royal times, like that is not me. Like usually that's a turnoff for me, and like this is like, it's so fucking good. I cannot believe, like I knew this game would be good, and I said back in February this was on my top 10 list, but I was like, for me that was kind of a risk for me putting it on my top. Like risk, I'm like, this is kind of like different for me, but I don't know for a fact, but like I'm pretty excited for this game. And then it's like playing it, I'm like, I don't know, I'm probably like 25-ish hours in, and I kind of looked up, without spoiling anything, like how many story missions there are. There are 68, and some of them are short, like they're like 20 minutes, some are obviously like a couple hours, and I looked up, I'm like on like mission like 43 or 44, I think, so I still got a good chunk of the way to go, but I've been doing like all of the side missions you could do. But what's great about the side missions are like, some of them are kind of like whatever, it's like, go pick 3 flowers for me or whatever. You know, some of them are bigger. Like, some are obviously more important than others. But like, what's great is like, you're not getting overwhelmed with like, you have 20 of them. You get like a couple in between like story missions, big main story missions. And then there's also like a hunt list that you can go through and you can like fight tough enemies, which is great. And like, even like, there's more purpose to do the story missions because there's like, you kind of earn like this, kind of like a, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like, there's like reward points you get, and it kind of raises your prestige like throughout the realm. And you unlock more like, you get like certain numbers, you get certain, like you beat the story mission, you can earn, you know, experience points, obviously you get cash, and also you get this like prestige points you can earn. Like you get 15 prestige points, and you go to like this person, like people will send you like, better gear to like, you can, to craft new weapons, or you get more ability points to upgrade your skill tree, shit like that. But yeah, this game is fucking brilliant, and I can't wait to get back to it. Because it's pretty much all I wanted to do today was just play this fucking game, and for a good chunk of the day, that's all I did. It was great. It was a great fucking time. So awesome. Final Fantasy 16 continue to be awesome. But that's all I've been playing. What about you, Gables?
All right, so basically I've been playing AEW Fight Forever. That's the game that I ended up picking up because this past week I ended up selling off that Xbox Series S, got money from that, used that to spend on AEW Fight Forever. And I will say, man, it's like I had a chance to really get in deep with it. I'm actually around 15 hours into this game. I've actually went through and completed like a Road to the Elite twice now. Twice with my creative character. I'm now going through right at this moment with Malakai Black. So I wanted to see the difference between doing a creative character and also with a regular star. The difference so far is like with a regular AEW star, you don't have to invest a lot of like the stats stuff. You know, the gear stuff that you get through doing like workouts or doing dining or doing whatever and stuff like that into upgrading things with your character. I mean, they already have their own set stuff already in terms of their perks and stuff, their skills and whatsoever. But as far as the gameplay goes, I'm really loving the gameplay. It's very reminiscent of the older wrestling games that I've had to experience and stuff, like say No Mercy and also SmackDown Here Comes the Pain and stuff like that. And to some extent, maybe like SmackDown versus Raw, like 2006, I want to say. Those type of wrestling games held my attention because they were fun to play, their story modes were fine, and like they had options that just kept me coming back and wanting to play more and more. This has that case for AEW Fight Forever. Now, that's not to say that it doesn't have its fair share of jank, because it definitely is some fair share of jank inside of this game. One of it is the pinning system in this game. The pinning system was okay at first because I was like, okay, you know, if as long as I get the momentum of my opponent down to the danger level and stuff, I can just pin them and stuff and do this and do that. But I started becoming a little bit more like frustrated by it when you get up to like, say, you're like a normal difficulty or like at hard or something like that, and you're trying to mash buttons in order to kick out of a pin, and they want you to mash so hard on it in order to try to do the kickouts and stuff, to the point where it's like, it it's so fucking tiring on my hands that
Yeah,
already have
yeah.
like so much shit and stuff like that. It would have been much more easier to have, say, I don't know, like a little bar or something like that at the bottom, so that way you can just time your kickouts and stuff instead of doing that way.
I would like it just like a bar to show, like when you mash the button to tell you how good you are, because how
Oh
close you
yeah.
are, how you're doing. Because like that was my frustration. Like I played one game where, I was dominating this whole match. Like it was like a 2-3 minute match, and I was just kicking this guy's ass. I was playing the computer, and he literally punched me, hit me with a drop kick. I fell down, and he pinned me.
Oof.
And I was like, "What?" Like. I was like, that was the only offense he really got in that entire match. Like he got no grapples in, he got no signature moves in. Like I like just beat the shit out. Like I taken 90% of the match, and it was like he reversed the move, punched me, hit a drop kick, fell on the ground, pinned me. I was like mashing the buttons. I wasn't going crazy hardcore, but I was mashing the buttons. It
Yes.
was just like I'd like to know like how crazy do I have to get on this button mashing to kick out? Like that's the only thing. Like I was just
Absolutely.
like. I don't need the bar thing. I hate the timing thing, honestly. It just kind of makes it, I don't know, like I prefer like you wear the person down, it makes you have to like hit it more to kick out. But like I would like to like see the bar fill up so I know kind of what I gotta do or how close was I or how close am I, you know?
Right. I can actually think of a good like spot during my first playthrough to where you first get introduced to like wanting to like do matches on an AEW Dark. And so the person that goes through and challenges you is like, for me, it was Sammy Guevara, right? So it's like I'm facing Sammy Guevara and stuff during this week or some before the original, like the actual episode of Dynamite where I'm supposed to be doing like the main stuff. So I did the exact same thing that you did. I dominated like him for like a good solid like 2 to 3 minutes and stuff, and then all of a sudden it's like he barely made any type of offense, but all of a sudden he does a desperation roll up and he gets the 1-2-3. I'm like,
Yeah.
that pissed me off for a
Well,
good
the roll
solid
up
5 minutes.
like doesn't hurt as much because like I've come close in a couple of those, like, but that's like a roll up is like that's a sneaky pin. To me, it was just like I got drop kicked and I fell on the ground. He just pin me. It
Oh,
wasn't even like a roll-up thing.
I know, right? But that's just like one example of like a couple of different things that has happened to me, not just in the first run of like Road of the Elite, but like the second run. The second run is where I went and initially captured the AEW tag team titles and stuff,
Oh,
the FTW title and the AEW World Heavyweight
wow.
title and
Okay.
stuff like that in that run. And the reason why I did that is I literally had to go forth and do the save and quit stuff because I had to redo certain matches and stuff because I wanted to try to get through the gauntlet that was the last final weeks all the way to like Double or Nothing and stuff. So basically the whole Road to the Elite stuff, you start at Double or Nothing and stuff with a Casino Battle Royale match, and it ends at Double or Nothing to where
Yeah,
it's supposed to be
it's one
some
year.
form for like for 1 year, quintessentially. And for my creative character, it's supposed to be like culminating with like a world championship match at the end. But the thing about fatal four ways and like triple threats and stuff, they can be utterly frustrating. And
It's
no
completely
matter what,
random, yeah.
it's completely random. Regardless of what type of difficulty you have it on, whether it be like, say, on easy, normal, hard, or elite, or something like that, you'll come across the AI doing just basic, like cheap ass sort of tactics and stuff to where I've been inside fatal four way matches. Unrolled at like while in the Road of Elite, like Road to the Elite and stuff, where I started off a match pretty fine or something like that, but because this game is momentum based and stuff, you could defeat your opponent like in like maybe a few minutes, right? And I've
Yeah.
had situations to where I had a opponent like grapple me during the time that somebody had like one of my other opponents pinned the other opponent and stuff, and because I was locked inside of a move, there was no way for me to go forth and
Yeah.
try to break out, like break the pin. Or my favorite, I actually go forth and I do a double axe handle. I physically did break the pin, but the referee still counted three. That happened a couple of different times. They're infrequent, but yeah, these are the type of bugs, these are the type of jank that I don't like. But other than that, there have been some like random glitches. I mean, during ladder matches, there's this one time where I try to do something to my opponent or something on the ladder and stuff, and all of a sudden it's like we're standing in the air and all of a sudden it just drifts all the way down to like the mat. I've been in the underneath of the ring.
I've
I
seen
mean,
that glitch before. I've personally experienced it, but I've seen clips of that image. Yeah, that happening.
oh my gosh. But with that type of jank aside, I've really liked the gameplay of AEW Fight Forever. I love how fluid it is to not only do moves, but also do strike stuff. I do like a bunch of the different aspects of the perks and stuff for different skills and stuff, like doing kip ups and like doing like having these proficiency like strikes and stuff. And then like, then you have characters like Wardlow or some or the Big Show where it's like you cannot do decent like hits or something on them because they
Yeah.
basically take it like Superman or something like that. And it's so much more easier when you get that perk during Road of the Elite with your creative character, because now you don't have somebody that's like just repeatedly just going through and just knocking the shit out of you or doing this or doing that. But as far as my progress inside of this game, I have unlocked, actually I bought like most of the stuff inside the shop with my own money that I've actually went through and like earned through the game. So I've unlocked like one of the two mini games that I know for a fact. So I got to sh like Sheeta's like a little baseball game or something like that.
Oh, okay. I haven't
I've
got that one yet.
already I've unlocked Cody Rhodes, Aubrey like
Aubrey
Edwards
Edwards.
and stuff. I got those various costumes and stuff for Matt and Nick Jackson plus like Britt Baker and stuff. But I actually just bought all the rest of the stuff too, because at this point I'm like 14, 15 hours in, and so I'm like, I had all this money just stacked or something like that, and I
Yeah.
bought most of the stuff up. Now all I need to do is really is like to unlock Big Show, Brody Lee, and Owen Hart. Owen Hart's like after 100 matches. Brody Lee is literally like with when you're doing like the whole championship stuff and A like inside Road of the Elite and stuff, there's actually a chapter which says the Dark Order and stuff. But Big Show is kind of like a weird one to
He's a
where,
pain in the ass.
yeah, Big Show's a pain in the ass if you want to try to beat him. The best way you do it is just try to do count out stuff.
Yeah, that's you have to like lose it. Like, yeah, I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, I'm fine with like certain like you have to do certain things, but it's like I don't know. You gotta get to like the chapter three of this story mission, but you have to like do certain things to get to this point. Like, you have to lose X amount of matches to get here. Like, certain I don't know. It's just like it's fucking Paul White. All right, come on. Just give me the goddamn guy. He should just be in
Oh,
the
I know,
fucking.
right?
Yeah.
Okay. So for like I need to do that stuff, right? But it's what I have done is I've tried out all the different match types and stuff from the exhibitions tags, the three ways, the like the fatal four ways and stuff, the exploding like death matches and stuff like that, which those could be fun. But
Yeah.
let me tell you, going through the lights out matches and stuff and searching under the ring and stuff for different weapons, and all of a sudden pulling out the thumbtacks and then just spreading it out all
Yeah.
around and stuff and just slamming your opponent. It feels so satisfying, Tyler.
I like the they have the Nike with the thumbtacks in the bot in the sole of the shoe. That's my favorite.
Yeah, they have that. There's even like a freaking football helmet to where if you
Yes.
take that, you can go forth and put it on an opponent's head and stuff, and they have like a fucking helmet. Oh my gosh. But one of my favorites is electrified, like barbed wire wrapped bat or something that
Oh.
you get. Dude, if you go into a lights out match, you pull out enough weapons or something, sooner or later you're gonna pull out this electrified sort of like bat or something with barbed wire wrapped upon it
Oh, okay, I haven't
and
seen that one.
freaking do that and shit.
Oh shit.
But another thing I end up finding out, Tyler, and this is I watched a YouTube video, and I didn't know that you can do this, but inside of a ladder match, if you set up two ladders and stuff and your opponent's like climbing or something like that, and your other ladder's like too like close, you can actually climb up to the top of the ladder you're climbing and jump onto the other ladder.
Oh, okay. I haven't done a ladder match yet. Okay, that's news to me.
Dude, I was playing a match with Chris Statlander against Tay Mello and stuff, and this ladder match and stuff, I just wanted to screw around to see what I can do with the stuff. So I can climb up on the ladder and then jump through the outside and stuff onto somebody. That I can do. It sucks that it's not like No Mercy, the where I could just place somebody on the announce table, climb up a ladder, and just jump through the damn announce table and stuff, doing that way. But Yeah, I found out that you can go forward. You can set the ladders on the ring, like near the ring stuff. You can go and like slam them on top of the ladder and stuff. But you can actually you can push your opponent over and stuff. But yeah, jumping from one ladder to the other ladder to stop your opponent, it actually was fucking awesome. Because I did that, I knocked her off the ladder, I grabbed the thing, and I just won the match. Oh my gosh. Let's see. Thinking about okay, like the lights out stuff I've already done. But I tried a lot of the different mini games. The mini games are fine and stuff. The
Yeah.
whole like Penta says like mini game is actually pretty funny. It's just like a little like a Parappa the Rappa style of like rhythm game. Then the whole the Q and A the whole like AEW quiz stuff,
The
that's
trivia
kind of
one.
the
Yeah.
trivia one. It's kind of funny because there's all these random facts I would not have known unless, like, say, I was really in depth, like deep inside of some of the AEW
Yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
Like say Trent Beretta or something like that was actually wanted to call himself like Plasma or something like that as a
Yeah. It's
wrestler.
like you, but I mean, it's not even like if you just watch, like, you get to be like a hardcore wrestling nerd to know some of the shit. It's not even just like if you watch AEW every week since launch. It's like, here's this, like one of them was like, I saw was like, where did the idea for the AEW Full Gear pay-per-view come from? Who named it? And it was like, Adam Hangman Page was like the name, like he, the reason the name came from. Like, I can't remember what the story behind it was, but he came up with the name. It's like, why the fuck would I know? Or like, one of them was like, which of these characters is not from this state? And I was like, why would I know this? Like, why would it's like what? Yeah.
I know. It's like random questions like that, you know, it's just a little bit more in depth and stuff. You obviously need to know your stuff to try to answer some of those, but yeah, some of the other mini games were all right as well, you know. There's like about five, I want to say, in general. I still need to unlock the last one. But yeah, I've done a fair amount inside of this game. I still want to go forth and play through the Road of the Elite that I got currently. I want to see if I can get like an A plus like Road of the Elite thing,
Can I plat
because
this game?
possibly, but I'm just seeing how I feel. Right now, I'm actually tempted to want to play this game a little bit more. I want to see if I can get that A plus for that Road to the Elite stuff. I got an A for my last Road to the Elite thing.
Oh.
I got an A. I actually did get an A and stuff with my creative character. And that involved me having to go. I didn't even win the Casino Battle Royale, mind you. I went and I got won everything else afterwards, including the later part of that Road to the Elite mode and stuff, where you have this freaking crazy ass series of events that leads you to the final match and stuff, to where it's like a fatal four way, right? And this fucking
Huh.
fatal four way is just so bullshit because of like what I've said before. The AI inside of these type of games, all they want to do is like a couple moves and try to pin you, and then a
Yeah.
couple moves and try to pin you. And obviously, after I literally retried that match like about a good solid like 5 to 6 times before I eventually went and won the initial match after tossing somebody out of the ring, and then all of a sudden like waiting for my opponent to get distracted by the other opponent, and I just pin while they're both outside fighting each other for the three count. But I will say, man, having that option to create your own entrances, your own rings and stuff like that, and then like come out with your custom character with like three or more belts on you, that actually does feel pretty gratifying. Because quintessentially, my creative character has all the belts besides like obviously like the women's belts and stuff like that. But if there's one thing I didn't like about this game at all, like a kind of abysmal, has been the online matchmaking stuff.
Oh, okay.
I've only tried one, and that was like a casual match and stuff.
Yeah.
Because okay, it's like I'm not doing ranked stuff. This
No.
I just want to see how the, I just want to test out how this game runs online. After playing Street Fighter VI and how good the online for the Rollback
You
Neck Gun.
can't compare Street Fighter 6 to AEW Fight Forever. Come on now.
No. What I'm saying is there's a standard thing that I'm looking for in that regards. It at least has to play all right. You know, it can't have too much lag. It can't have too much, like, all this various shit and stuff like that. But you're right. I shouldn't compare it to that because that's something completely different than, say, this. But as far as this game is concerned and stuff, that match that I played, there was a ton of lag. There was a ton of timing issues. There was aspects to where I kept getting looped into various stuff, and my timing's thrown off. I could not go through and do, like, I did, like, maybe, like, 9 moves the entire match, right? I was playing as Eddie Kingston against someone playing as CM Punk. So I'm like, okay, let's see what I can do. So I'm doing a couple bits of, like, punches and stuff, and all of a sudden, like, it's like my opponent's just, like, going this way, that way, this way, that way, and stuff because of the glitching and all this other shit. And it made it entirely frustrating. You know, I lost the match. It didn't feel like I lost the match because I was bad at playing that match. It felt like I lost the matches because the game can't keep up with the connection between the two of us. And so he has the clear advantage of, oh, okay, he has a bad connection, or who has a bad connection. I'm just going to do this, loop into this, and then it's going to be over from there. And yeah, after that, I just did not want to even remotely try that specific thing. Like, I'm not sure if it was the connection between the two of us, or if it was just something, like, incredibly stupid that's going on with the whole thing, the network. But it makes me least likely wanted to try to play this game online. Unless it's, like, with a couple of friends. And then we'll try it ever.
Which sucks, though, because I hope it's good. Hopefully, if there's any major issues, they fix it, because there's that new Stadium Stampede mode they announced this week.
Oh yeah,
that looks fucking awesome. 30 players fighting on a fucking football stadium. Let's hope it works, because that could be fucking awesome if it does work.
Yeah, I hope they fix their online shit. I mean, that's something that alongside of other things that need to be improved upon, like the next couple of patches. But overall, my feelings with AEW Fight Forever, this is a good game. This is a good game with a bunch of flaws. It's like one of those games that is a solid 7 for me, but yet it has plenty of things that need to be worked on, but it also has a whole bunch of, like, good stuff that keeps me wanting to come back and play it.
Yeah.
And that's the most important part of a wrestling game. The worst thing you can do as a wrestling game is make something so completely terrible or something like that from the visual perspective or the gameplay perspective to where no one's going to want to play it again after they go through the initial, like, a couple of hours or so of the gameplay. Here I am, I'm like about 14, 15 hours in, and I still want to play a match inside that game. That speaks volumes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is definitely the foundation of something good for AEW with this type of a game, because if they really want to sustain this game, they need to make not only just that improvements, but there's got to be more match types, there's got to be more wrestlers added in here, there's got to be a whole bunch of different things.
They said they're going to support it for at least 2 years. Obviously, depending on how well it sells, that will say whether or not they do that. I hope they do, because I hope it sells well, I hope it continues to sell well. I don't know how well it's doing, obviously, but I hope it does, because I hope it keeps getting support, because I will keep going back to these new characters. We already have the season 1 characters announced, like Hook, FTR, Danhausen, Bunny, a couple other people too. I can't remember who else, but I mean, we already got season 1 out there. We know about till at least August, so hopefully it does well. And because this game, there's a lot of promise here. Yeah, there's some technical issues, but it's stuff that, like, it can be fixed. It's not like this game is broken to the core. It's just, like, it's weird technical stuff that a couple patches can fix this game. And it's just a matter of how well this game could sell, because and people are playing it. Because this game, I think you and me easily could be in this game for the long haul.
Yeah,
as long as
absolutely.
I keep supporting it. So, yeah. But all right, I think this will wrap it up for this week, guys. Thank you guys so much for watching or listening. Like I said, top of the show, if you like all this, please like, follow, subscribe, search for us at podcast, Spotify, Facebook, Twitch, Twitter, all that fun stuff. We are in all those places. But I was host, I was Tyler.
I was Colonel Gables. Until next time, everyone, play some fun games. I mean, hell, you don't even have to finish them. All you need to do is enjoy, play what the hell you want. And at the same time, I want to wish everybody listening and watching us on YouTube, thank you for tuning in to another fun-filled episode of the Drunk Dash Nerds podcast.
And if you have a folder on your PlayStation of games that your a friend of yours loves that you won't play despite him, share with. Let me know, please. Tell me.
Hashtag the Ginger Files. Anyway,
it's like a porn ripoff of X Files. Bye, guys.
See ya.